Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hard.com.
And now, the only cure for our basketball Jones. Hail Varsity's Jacob Padilla on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone, baby.
Maybe that's why.
Lane Kiffin just tweeting through it.
Oh, yes.
He's honestly just sitting in his house right now and firing off, like, basically just live tweeting this.
That's so good.
This whole little spat here between Jimbo and Nick Saban.
I don't even know what he said, but I know I love it.
Greg and Lincoln tweets and says into the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed, he wants so badly to be in the middle of this, and he does. There's drama? What? Excuse me? I'm Lane Kiffin. We're, you know, why did they call me? Exciting days in the SEC, and we're joined by Jacob Padilla now, Phil Varsity. Hello, Jacob.
Hello. Let's keep just focusing on that, shall we? Do you want to really break this thing down?
We'll see. I think we're going to get to basketball and the Suns at some point during this interview. But okay, we can all oblige you. We can start with the feud today. I think we need more of this in the Big Ten. Who should fight in the Big Ten?
Everybody. All 14 coaches. Let's just have everybody go at it. Just every press conference is somebody taking a shot at somebody else. Just kind of carries over from one to the next.
I'm very here for the, because this will not amount to anything. It would be crazy if it did, but it won't amount to anything, obviously, physically between the two people, although they do have to, you know, see each other at SEC meetings in a couple weeks.
Ratings, but, and money, that's all this is going to amount to.
The press conferences, who would be the most likely two Big Ten coaches to throw random shots at each other at press conferences during the season? We've seen it a couple times. This one's obviously pretty big.
Yeah, I know my colleague Greg Smith kind of just asked that very same question on Twitter. Got a few, I think PJ Fleck is a common response to be in the mix.
Definitely a lightning rod.
Yeah, Kirk Ferentz and Scott Frost was another suggestion following the Clapgate situation. Frost versus Fleck is another
high on the list.
Central one.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a Harbaugh thrown in there, potentially with Ferentz. So, I mean, we've got some definite contenders for sure.
Yeah. Extremely exciting stuff. So we'll see what happens with that. Okay. We've wasted enough time now. How have you been? How are you?
Just, like you said, sad, very confused. I just don't understand.
What don't you understand? What happened?
Yeah, that's how it happened the way that it did. Like, I can understand losing and Luka just winning the game by himself or whatever, but just the fact that, and Chris Paul was obviously hurt, like, that thing came out and everybody made fun of it, but it was obvious if you watched the game that he just couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
The last four or five games of the series, he was just out there. But what happened to Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges and literally everybody else on the team? Nobody did anything. Monty didn't have any adjustments, didn't have any answers for what Dallas was doing. It was just this complete collapse from everybody for the team that had showed it had answers all season long, that even though it didn't look totally like itself in the first series, they kind of found a way to get it together enough to get out of that series in four or in six rather. Yep. So just and then the way they looked in the first two games, and they looked like, all right, there we go. And they just never had a counter once Dallas made their adjustments, and just bizarre for them to go down the way that they did.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty big time collapse, right? And then, okay, so I saw your tweet a few seconds ago about the Mavs having all those open shots last night and basically missing all of them, and that has to hurt as well.
Yeah, I didn't even watch that game last night. I just went and played basketball myself, and I did look at the box score when I got home, and I'm like, really? Hearing just how much worse it was just with the looks that they got. Yeah, that doesn't make me feel any better.
So we were actually talking about this a little bit on Monday on the show. The Suns, as a franchise, are in a sort of weird spot. What do they do? Do you're in the in-between where you can, you know, kind of run this back, but are you good enough to win a championship? And then, or you could, you know, take some risks, change some things up, move a couple players around a little bit and see where it goes from there. I guess, what do you think happens next for them who have been, you know, at the top of the sport for a couple of years now, and it looks like their window's still open?
Yeah, James Jones, his message at his exit interview, I guess, with the press was stressing continuity and wanting to run it back. And,
yeah.
The luxury tax isn't going to be a problem this year if they need to go into it to keep the team together and all that stuff. But James Jones doesn't really give away anything. Like, he's not going to let you know where he's going one way or the other. So that's what he said. Don't know if that's how it's going to play out. The problem is, at this point now, you just can't trust Chris Paul to stay healthy in the playoffs. And they're going to have to shift some things. Obviously, he said he's coming back, and he can still be a big part of this team. But, excuse me a second. Sorry about that.
You're good.
But you can't have everything be so dependent on him and Booker just by themselves, and probably need to start at this point. I know he is hesitant to the fact, but you probably can't have him playing the heavy role that he did during the regular season. You got to save some wear and tear on those legs for the postseason. So they're going to have to tweak some things. The DeAndre Ayton situation is kind of the big one that's hanging over the team, and I have no idea how that's going to play out. He's a restricted free agent, and there were clearly some issues going on at the tail end of that series between Ayton and Monty and potentially the team. And we'll see if them not giving him the extension last year kind of soured the relationship. It wouldn't be shocking. Like, I think a lot of people are just at this point expecting him to be on another team next year, but I don't know how the Suns replace him, like what the plan is. But the quotes were certainly foreboding at the way they were talking about him and at the end of that game and afterward and all that. So I don't know. The Suns, it is kind of frustrating. It feels like this was their window the last 2 years, and they just couldn't quite get there. I mean, they still got a great young core to build around, but there are a lot of questions kind of hanging over this team now as we head into the offseason.
So not only that happens, but then you have to deal with 3 days of Pat Bev on, you know, he's on ESPN. Maybe you just, you know, don't watch what's going on First Take, but you couldn't avoid it probably on Twitter. Let's just open up the, you know, open forum here. Pat Bev on First Take, go.
Yeah, I definitely don't watch it. So my exposure to it was basically just Twitter and the tweets and the clips and all that. And it's just frustrating the way that whole thing works now, where actual real analysis isn't valued, and it's just the shock value. And like, he's coming off here like, oh, this is the way the whole league views him. And
yeah, if that's the case, then nobody has ever said that before.
Yeah, and like, he'll say, oh, that's just because everybody's afraid to speak their mind and yada yada yada. And like, Chris Paul isn't the defender that he once was. He's definitely the weakest link in that five man lineup. But like, it wasn't like just calling him a cone. Like, that's not what was happening. Even it hurt. Like, he was switching on to Luka and he was battling. I mean, Luka's just 6'7" and shooting over the top of him.
Yeah.
Like, it's absurd. Like, the degree, like, there's maybe a kernel of truth to, like, again, he was an all NBA defender for a long time. He's 37 now. He's not that anymore. He's still a smart positional team defender, but he can't defend one-on-one like he used to. That doesn't mean he's a cone. And that's kind of the thing. Like, with the Warriors, like with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson usually guarding the best guard on the other team and all this stuff, people try to use that as shot against Curry, but like, somebody has to be the weak link in a lineup. It doesn't mean that you're an awful defender. It just means that you're the smallest player out there and the easiest to attack, whether you're a good defender or not, considering who you're playing with. So, yeah, that is ridiculous. And that was the start of it. And then him saying like that because the Suns didn't like fight him after he shoved Paul in the back at the end of the last game in the postseason last year is proof that his teammates don't like him or whatever. It's like, what are you talking about? They're not stupid enough to get themselves suspended.
Right.
They had to go play for a championship.
Yeah.
And like, I went back and watched the clip just because, and like, the guys were there, like, immediately Frank Kaminsky shoved him away, and then Jay Crowder and Torrey Craig started walking up on him, but a ref was in there. And then team personnel and a couple other players like jumped in between at that point anyways. Like, what are they going to do? It's just absurd that like you can go out and throw that kind of stuff out there unchecked.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed Matt Barnes' take on the situation.
Yeah, yeah, that was really good.
And it was very deserving for Beverly, what he said about him. So, yeah, it's just because you have a microphone doesn't mean that you know how to use it responsibly.
No, there's no doubt about that.
I've been saying that for years.
many people have been saying this to us. Yeah. Okay, Jacob, let's move on then. As we'll, you know, you had some good news, I guess, this week for Nebraska basketball. They got a guy that they've been looking for in the transfer portal, at least a guy who could score a little bit, Emmanuel Bandumel from SMU. That was the guy that they ended up with. So the roster seems complete now. As you put the pieces together and start to do the math, what does it look like to you?
Yeah, we're waiting on this. What was the move going to be? And now here it is. Obviously, I think the ship had already sailed on Trey McGowan's. I think everybody knew Lapman wasn't coming back, but Trey was still kind of out there. At least I knew that he still had a locker at Nebraska. But I think obviously this was their last scholarship, and how active they were trying to fill it, I think indicates where Nebraska felt like, that situation was heading. So I think it's kind of tough to go from some of the guys they were pursuing, with Antonio Reeves and Baylor Shireman, and then kind of, not to be disparaging, but kind of settle for a player like this. But it is a guy that has a lot of starting experience, that has played a lot of college basketball, and just another veteran. 6'4", 180-pound guard, started the last 60-some games or whatever for SMU. Decent three-point shooter, not much of a threat inside the arc, averaged about 10 points a game, not a great playmaker either. So I don't think this is a guy that moves the needle really at all. It just gives you another college basketball player with experience. So that's kind of trying to figure out, all right, what does this mean for this team and where it is heading into the season. again, you don't have the kind of top-end talent that you did last year with a guy like Bryce McGowan, even a guy like Alonzo Verge. But I think the roster is more balanced and has a better chance of defending than last year's did. And then we'll just have to see if they can figure out a way to score enough to compete in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Is it? I asked this question the other day to a couple other people. Does it feel like that, and you were kind of touching on it there, does it feel like it skews one way, offense or defense? Because since Hoiberg started here, you obviously would have said offense. This team's a little bit bigger, lacks some playmaking and maybe some shot making. I guess just because they have less offense, it doesn't mean they have more defense. But what is the kind of balance look like to you, offense defense wise?
Yeah, it definitely. Last year, I think we talked about it quite a bit, just with the kind of with guys like Verge and McGowan's and CJ Wilcher and Kobe Webster and Latmayan all out there together. You just didn't. Defensively, they just didn't have enough guys that were strong enough one-on-one defenders to hold up. And so you're kind of, so again, broken down off the dribble and in rotation. And it was just hard to hold up against with a lineup like that. Now you've got some better athletes. You've got some size. Obviously, Hoiberg brought in Matt Howard to kind of work with their defensive schemes and figure out a way to be more effective on that end. So I think whereas we saw last summer that the focus really was on three-point shooting and that adding shooters at the expense of everything else, I think we're seeing this year they are focusing a little bit more on versatility and size and defensive potential to try to give themselves a better shot of holding their own in the Big Ten. It was a versatile class. Like, you added players from a lot of different positions. It wasn't like they went out and just got all defenders, but I think they certainly raised their defensive potential level with this lineup.
Yeah. I think so, too. All right, Jacob, we'll let you go. Appreciate you taking the time and going back through the pain with us a little bit. We'll let you go. Enjoy your week. We'll talk later.
All right. See you guys.
That's Jacob Padilla of Hill Varsity, who is he seems okay.
He's going to be okay.
He's at peace.
He might not be okay today, but he's one day at a time.
Maybe this will cheer you up. Nick Saban is scheduled to be on SiriusXM Radio this afternoon.
Yes. What time?
Apparently 3:30
Eastern.
Our time. Well, I don't actually. Good question. It says 4:30 on the tweet from Barrett Slee, but according to Rick Neuheisel and Sean Farnham. Okay, so listen on Sportsmanlike Conduct, but maybe they could patch that in live or something like that. I don't know.
Don't tell anyone.
Is this? Are they just going to do this the whole summer?
Why? No. What Nick's gonna,
are they just going to do press conferences back and forth the whole summer?
What Nick is going to do this afternoon is he's going to go, I'm going to be the bigger man. Mm. I'm going to.
You're right.
Jimbo wants to talk. Let Jimbo talk.
But he's still going on the radio.
Yeah, but that's what people do when they know they've been got and they would like this to end as quick as possible.
We'll just see what happens on the field.
Yeah.
All right. That's one of Nick Saban's things. All right.
It's about the kids.
That's one. We'll just October 8th. They're coming to Tuscaloosa.
We'll find out.
And all right. And we'll see how that goes. All right. Did you see the picture of John Daly in his golf cart? John Daly.
I'm actually making a graphic with.
Thank you. Thank you. Can you Photoshop me into the golf cart with him? Or do what you got to do.
No, I don't know. That's a good one for later, yeah.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
John Daly, who I don't know where he's at right now on the leaderboard. I could check that.
He's doing quite well for himself.
He's had a nice start at the PGA Championship this morning. Yeah, two under through 13. So two shots off the lead. Rory's had a hot start today. And, you know, because of some of his health things, he gets to ride around in a golf cart. It doesn't have the top on it, the lid or whatever. But he looks like you or me or anybody else. We just hopped into the cart to roll off on a Saturday morning.
He looks so happy.
He's got his drink in his cup holder. And the beard.
Oh, he does. Oh my gosh, there's a big gulp in the car.
I think it's literally from 7-Eleven or something like that. With the beard flowing, with the hair flowing, he is having the time of his life. If John Daly can like be on the leaderboard in this tournament for, you know, let's say through tomorrow, going into the weekend, that would be a story, my friends. That would be an incredible story.
Monster rating.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe Buck's doing a feed of this. His first piece of business with ESPN with the caddy, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Michael Collins.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good follow.
It's like a kind of a fireside chat type of deal.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're not going to do traditional play-by-play of this event. We're just going to kind of talk over it.
We're going to put Joe Buck in a chair and have him talk with a few people.
Yeah.
Interesting utilization of Joe Buck.
Especially first time out of the gate. Like,
yeah.
Hey, don't do that thing that we paid you to do.
It's weird.
Just be a personality.
Huh. John Daly apparently bogeyed the 14th. He is now one under through 15. He bogeyed the 14th. He is on 16, one under. At the moment, PGA Championship, Rory McIlroy, four under, and he's on the 10th hole.
People are rooting for John Daly, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yes.
Okay, there would be a very small contingent that would come back on the other side of that, right?
I don't know who would be anti-John Daly.
Okay.
Poll question? Do you know anyone who's anti-John Daly?
I like it.
Okay. Tiger Woods, they were showing clips of him. I think you can watch him live on one of these things.
He's the featured group with Rory, I believe.
Yeah, Tiger is plus one.
Oh, he was minus two or three. Okay.
Let's see what happened to him. He started on 10, was two under, took a bogey on 15, took a bogey on 18, now took a bogey on one. And that is the Tiger Woods day.
Bogey bad.
So far. Yes, bogeys are bad. Correct. Golf. Golf analysis here on the show. All right. We have Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald. It's coming up in a little bit. Oh, look, Omaha Baseball got at us on Twitter.
They did. I got a thank you from Tony, who works over there. I didn't know if it was sarcastic or not. He sent me a text, thanks for talking about the tweet. I was like, oh,
hell yeah.
Were we not supposed to talk about the tweet? Did they delete it because they don't want us to talk about
real?
It?
It was a real thanks?
Yeah, yeah, it was a real genuine thanks. But at first I was like, oh, we're... Did I betray a confidence there?
It did get deleted quickly. Anytime. We're here for it.
Yeah.
We're here for the pettiness.
Yeah.
Team Petty, all day long. Give me this Jimbo Nick Saban thing. Give me Omaha Baseball tweets calling out teams down the road for not making the Big Ten tournament. Allegedly.
You still want that championship belt? I'll get it for you.
That's right. That's exactly right. Sam McEwen of the World Herald coming up next. We'll ask him about some NCAA things, and why not? We'll get his take on Jimbo Saban, the duel, coming up next year on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.